everybody. Welcome back to the Tipsy Ghost. We're your tipsy hosts, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
It's going to be sharing time with Boydston again.
It's my favorite time.
I was thinking about, you know, how far back in my life could I tell that I was a six, an Enneagram six?
Okay.
And I got pretty far back. But one of the memories that popped up,
I'm just thinking of you being like, my first memory is of anxiety.
My first memory is of a thunderstorm, actually.
Anxiety.
Safety.
So that's a good point. Sixes, I just want safety and I want to be prepared. And so in order to do that, I think through all the bad things that could happen. And then I'm like, okay, what would I do in this case? And that is how I am prepared. So when I was elementary and middle school aged, I really enjoyed playing this game by myself. And it was where I would pack a bag and then pretend I was in some sort of natural disaster.
Oh my gosh, Boydston.
What?
The social worker in me just is like, oh, little baby Boydston, come with me.
That's unique.
It made me feel better though, because I was like, oh man, I'm surviving. Like, I had this bunk bed, but with the desk underneath. I don't know what they're
like
called.
Like the loft bed, yeah.
The loft bed.
Yes.
And so I would just have my little bag and sometimes my family pet next to me, and we would just be sitting there like, oh, there's a thunderstorm going on.
And it's a tornado.
We're just huddled together and we're safe together, just waiting out the storm.
Okay.
Does that explain me a little bit more?
It fits perfectly,
it
actually.
Fits, yes.
I'm not saying it's not sad, but in my defense, I was preparing myself.
Well, you know, as you're saying that, it reminds me too that maybe I do have a story from when I was younger.
Oh, good. Of a five?
Of how, yeah, I was probably a five my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I really
still coming to terms with that, but okay.
It'll make sense here in a second. I really wanted to learn how to French braid my own hair. And I was in kindergarten, and I had brothers. Nobody knew how to French braid. Mom didn't know how to French braid. And so I had a doll. It was like an American Girl doll.
Yeah. I had one too.
Her hair was braided. So I would unbraid and then rebraid in the strands.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I figured out how to do it on the doll. And then I would do like one couple strands and then flip my hands over and try to figure out how to do it myself. So basically I trained myself out of research.
I don't know how to French braid still. I mean, I can, but it's not good. But I taught myself how to braid using my Barbie doll's hair.
Yep.
Same thing. I just sat there and figured it out on my own.
Looked at the braid, uncrossed, recrossed.
The things we did before the internet.
Yes, there was no internet.
I don't know if I can think of like, I mean, I remember my first memory, but I don't know if I can correlate it with like my Enneagram self.
Did you avoid conflict when you were a child?
I've always avoided conflict. I don't know. Like, I didn't have drama in my friends when I was in elementary school to be the peacemaker. I know. I was trying to think like conflict with my house. No, I don't know. My first memory is my fourth birthday party when Aladdin showed up to do magic tricks and Jasmine did not show up because her magic carpet was running late.
isn't magic wizard stuff?
Listen, Aladdin was there and he did magic tricks because I liked Aladdin and Jasmine. Yeah, I can't think of anything that comes with a correlation of Enneagram 9. I'm sure I've always been the peacekeeper.
Here's my question for you, Boydston. Did you ever prepare for natural disasters that maybe wouldn't take place here?
Like a tsunami?
Like a tsunami?
Likely, yeah.
Or a hurricane?
Yeah.
Also, the, you know, San Andreas.
Okay.
The big old fault that we're on.
Yeah.
No, we're on the New Madrid fault.
I have no idea what fault we're on.
Is that a crack?
Fun fact, we're on a giant fault line.
In Kansas City?
When the big one happens, the big earthquake, it will swallow Kansas City. That's my childhood thoughts, but I'm sure it's pretty spot on. So yeah, I prepared for earthquakes and tsunamis.
Does it make you nervous when we have those humongous earthquakes here in Kansas City?
Well, we haven't had a humongous one, but it makes me nervous when we have like the little tremors.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like that will just set off the big one.
Okay.
Mm. That makes sense. That fact checks.
I'm not surprised.
But it's okay because I'm prepared.
Kansas City recently had a earthquake.
They did.
I did not feel that one. disappointed.
I haven't either. The only earthquake I've ever felt was when I was in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly enough.
I think the one I felt came from Oklahoma. That was the only one that I actually felt.
Thank you,
I thought
Oklahoma.
It feels like when the washing machine's on and your floor shakes or your wall shake a little bit. Or just in my house, I guess.
Do your wall shake when your washing machine
only
is on?
Like when it's on the spin cycle, the very end, yes, things are really intense.
You're like drying things out.
Yeah. You need to calm it down, washer machine.
You're like spinning it around. Feels like an earthquake, apparently.
That's exactly what you mean.
Well, that's what I thought was happening. It went on for a really long time. I was like, huh.
This washing machine is not really getting it.
Also, the washing machine was not on.
Okay, there it goes. That checks.
Oh, that'll change things.
Debunked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, avalanches. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Be careful of those in Kansas City.
From Denver.
From the hills, the Flint Hills.
Yes.
Yes. Obviously.
Yeah. I'm going to push the snow all the way here.
The Ozarks is going to back up.
Ooh.
With an avalanche?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Obviously.
So that's what you were doing as a child. As a child, I was either reading or writing stories.
I mean, that's not all I did. I played with Barbies, and I like to read, and I like to watch cartoons.
And write poems.
And that was in high school. Actually, no, that was in middle school. I did write a poem.
It made it into a book.
Yeah, I think anybody that submitted their poem, it's like, ooh, here's this contest to make it into this book. But I think everybody got a book.
What made you want to do that? I'm just curious. I mean, it was a great poem. It's just like, this is my first time. I'm going to submit it.
It was.
Just wanted to challenge myself.
Okay, I like that. On the same level as How the Dark Was Dark. On that same level.
That's really insulting. I quite appreciate my poem.
I love your poem.
It made sense. How the Dark Was Dark is just redundant.
Exactly.
And common sense. Well, thanks, Lindsay.
I loved it.
Never quit your poet dreams.
Oh, I've quit. Especially now. I will never go back.
I'm going to find a book for you to submit another one to.
I would buy it.
It's going to be titled How the Dark Was Dark.
Yes, I'd buy that.
Thank
to support you.
You.
That is it, the end?
That well, was I can't, the poem. That's the whole book.
I can't spoil it.
Oh, okay. Guys, people watch out. We got a poet that's coming out.
Oh, there she is over there.
Me?
You rhymed out and out.
I rhymed the same word. I don't know if that's a rhyme.
Good job. Skills.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't even notice it. See?
Anyways, thanks for that trip down memory lane.
Thank you for giving us another glimpse into your mind.
Yes.
It's amazing.
So we are going to cover a recent haunted investigation we did, and this is a repeat investigation.
Repeat?
Repeat-stigation?
Yes.
You did it.
Nice. I did it. I try to aim to be up to your level.
It'll never happen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're both welcome.
Compliment.
I don't even try.
Didn't even hesitate.
Oh,
okay. You. We went to this place in May 2020. It's been a while.
I have grown and also died a little inside since then.
We have grown as a group.
Yes.
This was our third investigation together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we've grown a lot together. And
I hope so, because it was one of my more embarrassing investigations.
It's in episode 16, if you guys want to go back and listen, but it was Glore Psychiatric Museum in St. Joseph, Missouri.
St. Jomo.
Did you know M&M's from St. Joseph, Missouri?
I think I've heard that before.
Fun fact.
So
that is a fun fact.
We won't go into all of the history behind Glore because we did that in our first episode. Like I said, episode 16 if you want to hear it. But basically, this is a now museum in St. Joe, and it's kind of like a psychiatric museum, but it used to be a mental health ward back in the day.
The original building still exists.
Yes, it does.
Just not used for that purpose anymore.
It was originally named the State Lunatic Asylum, and that was built in 1874, and then renamed the St. Joseph State Hospital in 1899. So she's been around for a while. And it was in the 1990s, became a state prison. And now, like I said, it is just a museum with lots of cool artifacts in it.
I got to ask a few questions to one of the people that works there.
Yes.
And I was like, so what kind of prison? You said prison, right?
So, but yes. So it was repurposed in 1990s as a state prison.
Okay.
And then the museum is right next to the prison.
And then the museum moved in 1968 to a building outside the prison gates.
Yeah. So I was asking the person that worked there just a couple questions about the prison. And he let me know that any inmate that does have a psych history or needs evaluation, et cetera, then they will most likely go to that prison.
Yes.
Makes sense. But still just didn't know it.
Makes sense.
It was a public investigation, so it's kind of a free-for-all as far as, like, where you go, how much time you spend, which I appreciate. It does make it a little bit, you know, I guess haphazard. We're just kind of all over the place bouncing around. So.
And they let us, like, go off on our own from the very beginning. It's not like they're leading investigations, which is nice. But it does make it, we're just saying it's public, so you know that it's harder to gather evidence because you can hear everything.
And also, there are so many exhibits, so many rooms. There's three or four floors plus the tunnels. And so we couldn't hit everything.
So we are just going to go recording by recording because I don't think there was any rhyme or reason as to, like, we're going to do this whole floor first. Then we're going to go up. We just went all over because I have, like, two from the morgue and, like, they're at completely different times. So we must have gone somewhere in between. Then we came back and then we went somewhere and then we came back. All right. So, yes, yeah, start us out.
Sure. My first recording is from what we were calling the water therapy room. Do you guys remember this room?
I do. Yes.
There was water therapy there.
Hydrotherapy.
And also treadmills, I noticed. I said on the recording, which I thought was interesting.
Didn't we get, I should have reviewed, but I feel like we got some evidence the first time we went in that room specifically.
The first time we were there, we mostly went off of feelings
and vibes
and vibes.
And you had vibes
and
there.
And I had vibes there of an old lady in there. That's all we talked about in this recording. So yeah, I can go back and listen to the first one if you want, but that's all I have for that one. But in this water therapy room, I do catch what I think is a meow. 'Tis a ghost cat.
A ghost cat at a psych hospital.
I love that.
That's interesting because later on in a different recording, I am very excited that there's a cat.
That you hear?
That, yeah, we actually heard it like in real time. Because we talk about it. We talked about it two times that there is a cat here. And I doubt highly that there is a real cat in the Glor Psychiatric Museum.
I did not see one, but we just kept saying, is that a meow?
Yes.
Maybe somebody in the group was meowing.
Or maybe there's a ghost cat.
Lindsay, it's a ghost cat.
Okay, sorry.
Shortly after this, we are very stressed, okay, in this whole recording because we appear to have lost a recorder somewhere.
We found it the next day. Don't worry. It was in my car.
Found it that night. Actually,
oh, we did?
This one.
I lost it twice that night.
I was like, I found it in my car. Okay.
So in this particular recording, we are stressed. Okay. We're looking for it everywhere. And then bam, surprise. Boydston has it in her bag after several searches.
Amazing.
Only after Lindsay walks out to the car while the recorder is still recording.
Yeah.
So I hear shh.
Oh, yeah. I'm a good friend and went to my car to look for it.
You did.
You
did. But you took the recorder with you.
Oh, I didn't remember that. I'm sorry.
So I hear the swishing and then I'm walking to my car. Boydston lost the recorder.
Let me also say, we went here and I had literally, like, it was a month maybe out from getting over COVID.
Yes. You mentioned that too.
I mentioned this in my recordings.
You
and
said,
I'll get to it.
COVID sucks.
I had a lot of complications after COVID to where, like, I just was out of breath constantly. So I hear myself in the recording. I'm either sucking on cough drops or I am, like, breathing so heavily that I sound like I'm dying.
Well, add that with a nice trip from, like, the third floor down to your car.
Yes, I don't know why.
Poor Lindsay. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. But this was a rough recordings for me.
In my defense, and I say this in my recording, we all three of us checked my bag.
We did.
Yep. We did. I don't know where it just showed. It's magic.
It was taken
from the ghost cat.
The ghost cat took it and put it back in the bag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We spent some time in the morgue. Like Lindsay said, I think we came back to it at least once. But I did make note. This is the first time I write my notes, man. We're kind of obnoxious.
We are very obnoxious in this recording.
I was really hoping that it was just because we were right next to the recorder. So this is our public apology for being a little bit obnoxious. We were just having a great time. We're just laughing. Most of it was revolving around taking pictures. Almost all of it was.
Yes.
Which were very funny.
Good news. We'll post them. We got some great pictures.
I have that recording.
Yeah, that's where mine were from was when we... So in the morgue there... Oh, God, what is that?
I also have that recording.
The refrigerator.
The morgue tables. I mean,
the drawers that you see drawers. On all the crime shows. They put the dead bodies and you shut them into the little drawers. Mm-hmm. So they have those pulled out and you can lay on those.
You can reenact them.
And take some pictures if you want. Which is what happened.
We did. I had forgotten this, so we reviewed a couple pictures that Boyston and I were the ones laying down on them.
Yes, you were.
And in one picture, we decided to hold hands.
Yes, you were. That might have been when Sarah said, quote, "You can't die without me."
Oh, cute. Sounds right.
As I am just taking their pictures for them.
No, you had to run.
I did to do get that between later. Us. So I have in mind, I said, Boyson gets inside the rolling morgue. That's what I called it. The rolling morgue.
Sounds that like Boyson.
And I said, so does Sarah. I will say, at this point, while you were laying on the table, that you said you heard a tap and a hello, but I could hear people in the background. Mm. So I don't think I'm going to get anything.
Probably like, why are you on my pan? Get off.
So we're in the lobotomy section, and Boydson, do you remember what happened last time we were here?
I told you about Dr. Freeman.
Yes, and you also got chest pain in the lobotomy area.
You'd think it'd be a headache, but...
I had this recording as well, and it was my longest recording. And I say in a weird way, I feel a heaviness, the same as I did when I touched the painting last time.
Ah, the painting, which sad I thought I'd
bring that up.
We did not find that painting again this time.
It was too strong. I also say in a very creepy voice, it's this kid. He's here. But I also don't say who this kid is.
Just this kid.
It's this kid. Well, whoever was there. I don't know.
Okay.
I must have been pointing at a picture, but I didn't say who it was. And then at that time, somebody comes in and asks if we heard other people up there.
Mm-hmm, like a thud or something.
Yes. And we said, no, we thought it was you guys. And they said, no, we just came up here. There was nobody else up there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting.
I didn't catch anything on my recorder, but I did catch that interaction.
Right. As we're changing rooms.
And I left my recorder behind, but apparently we took Sarah's with her.
We did. And I just wrote down a few more things. But Boydston, you did make my ears bleed while singing with your mouth as close as you could to the recorder. This time it was Here I Go Again on My Own.
Why were you singing that? You're not alone.
I really don't know why you were singing that.
Probably felt alone. Sometimes I feel alone even when I'm with people.
Oh. And then you were reading a whole sign about the bath of surprise. You were very excited about this. I think we were in the, the one where there's like the torture room and like the wheel and the cages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We were having a great time in there taking pictures and you were just baffled about this bath of surprise.
Can you tell me about the bath of surprise?
I could, but that's all I wrote was about the bath of surprise. I'll have to go back and look at it. Okay, well, that's what I got in that whole hour. So no evidence, basically, except for maybe a thud that...
Maybe a thud that neither of us caught.
Right. Yeah.
So we left the recorder shortly after that thud that happened, and another group comes in, and again, the room is dark, but they see, like, our little red light on the recorder, because he almost, like, bumped into wherever it was resting, and he goes, oh, wait, oh, that's somebody else's recorder. And he goes, should I tell them a joke?
Did he?
He gets real close and tells us a joke. Do you guys want to hear it?
Yeah. Of course.
A fish swims into a wall and says, damn.
But that's cute.
Okay.
His friends all laughed. Good job, my guy. That he wanted to tell us a joke.
I just wanted it to be a little longer, but I appreciate that.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So they kind of investigated a little bit. I didn't catch anything they were really saying because they were further away from our recorder, probably out of respect, which thank you. Another group did come in to do some EVP sessions, and they had like a Phasma on their phone, but it was hard to hear like what they were gathering. Obviously, I couldn't hear when they were listening back to their EVP sessions on the recorder because it was too far away, and the Phasma is hard to listen back to on the recorders.
I heard a lot of spirit box like sweeping constantly.
Theirs thankfully was not the spirit box because that sweeping of the static gets my ears. Boyson, do you have anything else besides top floor?
Tunnels.
There's some old cars. Some old cars, and then Elvis is referenced, and I got very excited, and I asked Sarah to sing Elvis, and she just did an impression.
Okay.
What do you think your Elvis impression was?
I honestly don't know.
I don't remember. Did she say, I'm all shook up or something?
Was it I'm all shook up? That's all I think of.
I just wrote down you did an Elvis impression.
Oh, this is not a correct guessing game. We don't have the answer.
You were excited about the bath. And that's it.
I need you to be more detailed in your note-taking, both of you.
I've been a little overly detailed in the past, so I tried not to.
So like we said, it's public. So I heard lots of talking in the background. Mm-hmm. And I can't really isolate it. It's hard in the moment to determine whether or not it's people versus like, because you hear something, you're like, oh, is that an EVP? But then you also hear voices that you know are human.
Yeah.
So I can't really determine anything. We do mention that there are kid spirits around for whatever reason. At one point we did do Phasma, so we might have picked up on something there. But you also mentioned there was a kid that you were picking up on in the lobotomy room.
Interesting on that, because I mean this was not like a kid's mental health place. It was an adult.
Right.
In an adult prison and all this stuff. So interesting that you guys were picking up on some kid spirits.
Kid spirits. And then there was a tap that we hear. And at this point, we're the only ones in the room, and you hear it, and it sounds like it's coming from one of the cars. Like it's a tap on the hood or on the door. And then we all hear it, and we look around the cars, and there's nobody in there. So that was exciting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We explored several things on the top floor and then finally settled into the Native American section. Mm-hmm. And talked for a while in there in one of the rooms we were in. And then we moved on to the doll room. That's what we called the doll room.
The doll room. And it is not like haunted dolls like you would think. It's just dolls.
Just dolls. Barbies. But they Barbies. Are very creepy. Some of them. Mm-hmm. Not all of them were Barbies. There were some older dolls. And then they had a lot of Barbies.
Like hundreds of like dolls.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
When we were in there, though, Boydson said she felt weird.
Yes, I wrote that down too. Boydson reports feeling weird.
Very descriptive.
That's all you said.
Announcement. I feel weird.
You just said, I feel weird in here. I don't like it.
Okay.
And then on the top floor, there's a little chapel area. And I left my recorder by the chapel while we went off to the Native American room. And we come back at like 4 minutes in. And right when we come back, you can hear us walking back up to the recorder. You can hear my out of breathness. And Sarah says, did you just hear that? I heard a robotic noise.
Again?
I don't know what a robotic noise means, and I didn't ask. That's on me. That's my bad.
Mr. Roboto was there.
So I went back and listened to 20, 30 seconds before we walked back. And I hear some breaths right into the recorder, and it's not me because I wasn't there yet. And it was like 20 seconds before you came back and said, I heard a robotic noise.
Okay. I'm surprised I heard anything.
Yeah. I will say, when we were on the top floor, we were the only ones upstairs. Because we said that in the recordings. We're like, everyone's down by the morgue or in the tunnel. So we came upstairs to make sure that we were away from them. So who knows what it was.
Speaking of the tunnels, should we go there?
Please.
Let's go to the tunnels. It was one of my favorite places last time.
The most significant thing I got from the tunnels is that there was a motion detector. And one of the first things that happened is this motion detector goes off. And another group walks in and they open the door and they're like, did anybody just come in the room? And we're like, no, because we're almost at the end of the tunnels at this point. And they're like, our motion detector just went off. Have you guys been down there the whole time? And we had. But I will say that there is also this occasional beeping that's their security system.
Yes, I debunked that.
That would go off occasionally, but they had a separate motion detector that went off whenever nobody was around.
Mm-hmm.
No human was around.
I remember that. Those tunnels are creepy.
They are. They're completely pitch black.
And at one point, the tunnels connected to what is now the prison to somewhere else.
Yes, and they have been like
closed. I think they do still, don't they?
They're walled off.
Yeah, they're like closed off. Like you can't go all the way through the tunnels. You can only go so far down.
But they're there just in that doors. Section, I think, that's still open on the other side.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a pass-through.
Right.
And there's lots of like art and graffiti on the walls inside the tunnels now.
Okay. Well,
do we feel like we need to return to Glor a third time? Or do we think we've gotten everything we can get from there?
I wouldn't be opposed. It's going to have to be like a year or three.
I wouldn't be opposed. I feel like there's always something new to learn there.
There is. Maybe if we go back, we can systematically go through the floors.
It's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
I would love to go to Glor by ourselves, like as a private. I would love that. I think that what makes it so difficult is it's public.
Yeah.
They're hard. And you're only there. We only get to be there until 1 a.m., which is pretty short for ghost hunting time.
And it started at 9, didn't it?
Yeah. So 4 hours is not a lot of time for how big this place is, which is why most of our recordings are like 10, 15 minutes
mm-hmm.
before we move on. So I would love to go there for a whole night by ourselves, but I don't think that they do that.
Maybe in a few years they will.
Maybe in a few years. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in this week to our repeat stigation of Glor Psychiatric Hospital Museum in St. Jomo. You can always find us at thetipsyghost.com with our socials linked from there or send us an email at thetipsyghost@gmail.com.
Please give us a 5-star rating and a great review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate it and it really does help.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll catch you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.